need for him. And I could not have done it. I could not have walked this life without him. My past was, all I can say was it was completely broken. We had a really fantastic life until about the age of 9. My dad had grand mal epilepsy, and one day he was at home and he had a shower and he had an accident, had a fit in the bath, and he turned off the cold water and turned on the hot and ended up burning his whole body with scalding hot water from our shower. And he went into hospital with third-degree burns. And he himself was, I mean, actually the doctor came and gave him the wrong treatment. They put a thing on him called Friar's Balsam, which is like putting butter on a burn. And he was 2 weeks at home, and we can remember him screaming the most, I mean, really horrific screams with the pain as the doctor came and ripped off the bandages from his body. So he went into hospital, and he underwent a lot of treatment. And it was just error after error after error after error, and he completely went through a mental change. So we had come from the first 9 years of my life were brilliant. My father's dad was a composer for the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, and he was a violinist, and music filled our home. Music was just part of who we were. We grew up with music, and it was wonderful. And what happened after that accident, he actually underwent a complete mental change. So he went from being a really happy, wonderful musician to being abusive and being really horrific to my mum. So the end result for me was I went crazy. Just, you know, the crazy teenager. I left home at 16 years old, and I took lots of drugs and drank lots of alcohol and did whatever I could to just be rebellious. And I lived my teen years. I don't remember much about it, but I call them the black years of my life, because I just was on self-destruct. And it was at about 18 years old that I started to pick myself up and, you know, decided, no, I can do this thing. And I met a wonderful friend, and she spoke life into me. And she said, Joy, you know, the world is your oyster. And she just spoke life into me. And she spoke Christian principles into me. And I just started to rise up and rise up. But there was still something empty. You know, I traveled all over the world, and I worked on a prawn trawler in the Gulf of Carpentaria. And I went to England. Worked as a DJ, you know, spinning vinyls, and did a few radio jingles and things like that. Sang with a band in Western Australia. Just had a fairly full life, but I was still really, really empty. You know, that thing that you feel like you've just forgotten something. And then I decided I was living in London, and I was offered a new job to start at Juliana's as a new DJ, and I just had this call in my heart, just go back home. And I went back home, and that was 1979 Christmas. I hadn't had a Christmas at home for 5 years, and went home, and I had Christmas, and I went to church in January the 6th, 1980. And as I say, God did something incredible that day, and I've been on journey ever since. And the thing that was birthed in my life, I mean, music was always a part of our life, but now worship and praise and singing a song became the fibre in my very being. I believe that was my strength, that in the dark times I would sing, in the dark times, in the difficult times, because once we cross over into that place, we still go through difficult times, don't we? There are still storms of life, aren't there? You know, it's interesting because I think back to my teen years, and I listened to a lady called Joni Mitchell a lot, because I felt that she was a bit of a soul sister with a melancholy, she demeanor. But I always thought that she was singing about Jesus. I thought she had a relationship with God, and because she used to sing this song, He comes for conversation, I comfort him sometime. And she goes on to sing, he brings me happiness in Jesus. I bring him songs to play. And so I used to sing happiness in Jesus, happiness in Jesus, happiness in Jesus. So in my dark times, even before I was a Christian, I was singing this song, happiness in Jesus, and I believe that God was laying a foundation. Now, years later, actually only a couple of years ago, I read the lyrics of this song, and she wasn't singing happiness in Jesus. She was singing, I bring him crackers and cheeses. But how incredible of God, hey, how incredible of God that he knew that that's what I would hear. And that's what I held on to, you know. So, you know, hold on to the lyrics in the song. Happiness in Jesus. That's the truth. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. So I said my life has been a journey. It's been a journey. And there's nothing I would prefer to do in the whole wide world is that of building his church. And building people and saying, you can do this thing. I know what it's like to be broken. I know what it's like to be lonely. I know what it's like to go through betrayal. I know what it's like to walk a walk of rejection. I understand that. And we all go through that. But this morning I want to tell you that the song that we sing, the song of praise from our heart, the song of trust, the song where we put our faith in God will be the thing that takes us to deliverance. And I have a message this morning. It's called The Song and the Jewel. Two things I love. I love the song and I love the jewel. Do we all love the jewel? Went downtown LA yesterday with Deb. She said, you should get a t-shirt. I survived shopping in LA with Deb. It was fantastic. It was so much fun. And Eleanor, we had a great time. And our Ellie's here. And just a great time. Bought some bling. Bought some bling. Was so good. But I think, you know, we are very attracted to shiny things, aren't we? You attracted to jewels? Do you like jewels? The more I go on, the more I realize, you know, when I first came to the Lord, I wasn't that attracted to jewels. But as I've gone on, and we were even saying this the other day, the more you go on, the more you become attracted to it, because the more you realize that it's God, God is putting something within us. He puts his jewels within us. And I think that our name actually should have a jewel as a part of it. So I call myself Joy Lynette Jewel Horan. Because you know what? My parents named me Joy Lynette. My husband gave me the name Horan. But God gave me the name Jewel. And you know, you may be here and you may not be attracted to jewels, but I want to show you in the Word where God has called you Jewel. And as we sing the song, as we sing the song of faith, as we sing that song, he actually lays the foundation. When we're going through the storms of life, he lays that foundation of Jewel in our life. So singing in the storm of life, or praising through our pain, worshipping in the wilderness. Do they have anything in common? Well, I think they do. I think they do, that the song and the jewel has something in common. Because it's the song of praise and worship that ultimately takes us to that place of jewel. Amen? And the song is our gift to God. And the jewel is his gift to us. What he lays within our life is his gift to us. He makes us strong. He makes us compassionate. He makes us have a heart that is so fully attracted to grace. And that lays a foundation in our life. And you know, he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. I don't know how you feel here this morning, but I want to tell you, no matter where you are, you must believe this one thing. He loves you, and he will bring you through, no matter what trial or storm you are in. Last night, Mark spoke at the meeting, and he said, there's a word instead, instead, instead. And use that word, instead of, and replace that, instead of shame, there will be great grace upon my life. There will be freedom. Instead of failure, I can walk in freedom. Instead of. And he also said this. He said, the storm does not equate with failure. That does not equate. It's not, it because you're in a storm, it does not mean God is punishing you. It actually means that he wants you to work through it and walk through it. When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high. Isn't that a great song? It's a great song. They sing that at English soccer matches. You know, because what the song does is it brings unity. They come and they sing together and there's a unity. We're going in one direction. And when we come to sing and we praise and we worship, we're going in one direction. We're speaking the same thing. We're speaking the same thing together. This is where we're going. This is what we're believing. And as we sing and as we use our lips and we hear what we're singing, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing. And as we hear our own voice sing, our faith gets built up. Amen? Amen? Amen. So Isaiah 54, 1 to 3. I'm very sorry, I don't know what time I've done. What time do I finish? What's the countdown? Okay. I don't have to time it. Woohoo! Sometimes you forget. I'm sort of a bit menopausal at the moment. And I forget everything. I can look at the time and go, okay, what time did I start? And then I go, I forgot. Is that okay? Good. Okay, Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 3. Can you turn to it in your Bible? It says, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Then it goes on to say, because more are the children of the desolate woman than that of her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the left and to the right. To the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Sing, O barren woman. You see, the song is the key. First of all, it says, sing, O barren woman. Then it says, listen, this is the promise. Shout for joy because a promise is coming. And, you know, watch God. Sing, shout for joy because our heart trusts him. Watch God turn our situation. Sing, O barren woman. It's all about bringing that which is desolate, that which is dry, that which is empty, that which is unfruitful, that which is unproductive, that which is difficult. Sing, O woman, you who have maybe lost your dream. Sing and trust the heart of God. Sing. Sing the song. Sing the song of joy because he loves you. He loves you. Sing, O broken one. Sing, O woman who has a broken heart. Sing. Sing. Make a choice to sing in that moment. Make a choice to take our eyes off our trials and put our eyes on him who is altogether lovely. The Bible talks about him being like a rainbow on a cloudy day. How beautiful is that? The description of Christ through the Bible is absolutely beautiful. And if we put our eyes on that which is very lovely and take our eyes off that which is painful to us, watch him turn it around and watch him do something in your life that causes such a depth of richness. Amen? Can you understand my accent? Yeah? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. See, sometimes we think that when we're going through stuff, we're alone. But actually, no, God is saying, I'm near to you. I'm near to you. I'm close to you. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Sing. Sing a love song. Worship, praise. He is my strength and my song. It goes on to say in Isaiah 54, verses 11 and 12. It says, O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. And all your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. So here's the thing. Read like this. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy. O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and your walls of precious stones. So sometimes the comfort takes a long time in coming. But we keep singing, and what he's doing is laying a foundation of richness and colour. And he does use the storms of life to build the precious stones within us. Amen? Diamonds are created under great pressure. The element that makes up a diamond is carbon, not coal, but carbon. And it comes in two forms, diamonds and carbon, or graphite. And the diamond is formed about 200 miles under the surface of the earth. And it is the volcanic eruptions that brings it to the surface. And then after that, the jeweler takes the stone and puts it in its tumbler and washes it and washes it and washes it. And then it takes it and it cuts it and puts facets into it. Why? All because when the light is shined on that stone, colour radiates back. And sometimes we might feel like we are just right down there, underneath, you know, but God is forming something deep within us. And then all of a sudden an eruption happens. And yeah, we move to the surface and we get a bit strong and we think, yeah, we've come to the end. And then all of a sudden we get put in the tumbler. Oh, rum, 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 rum. Oh, yikes. Not again. And then what happens? The facets get. Why? All because when God's light shines on us, we will radiate a colour to one another that is incredible. And when I first walked into the church, it was that which I saw in the people. It was that which I saw that was deep that I wanted. And I said, I want what you have. And I bet you that's how many of you feel. I want what you have. And what we have is built very often over time, over time, over time, over time, over time. But my encouragement to you is keep singing the song. Keep singing the song and allow him to work through the difficult times. Amen? Love it. Love the Lord. He's so beautiful. So I want to show you where he sees you as a diamond, where he sees you as a jewel. In the word, okay? So Isaiah 54:12 says this, I will make your towers of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and your walls precious stones. Isaiah 61:3 says this, you will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. So this is him, his hand, he's holding you. Now the other night it was not last night, the night before, I was sitting up working on this message on my laptop in bed and my husband had fallen asleep and all of a sudden he wakes up and he goes, oh, and then he did the funniest thing, he goes like this, oh, oh. He was dreaming and he was sleep talking and walking and he's done some hilarious sleep talks and I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but I could. Hilarious. But this was, I laughed. It was hilarious. But you know what God showed me the next morning? He actually was showing me what it's like for Christ when he finds the pearl of great price and that this is how you, this is you. So this is what you've got to see you. You are the royal diadem in his hand. This is who you are. And he's going, oh, I found her. I found her. my daughter, I found you. And I hold you in my hand. And no matter how you feel, this is how he sees you. Oh. So all this, although this was a dream and Mark sleep talking and whatever he was doing, it actually was really prophetic. It was really, really prophetic, a prophetic vision for me. And I want you this morning to imagine this is how he sees you. Oh. Oh. Beautiful? Is that beautiful? In Revelation 21, 9, part B, it says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And that's us. That's us. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, "Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal." Years ago, I was reading out of the book of Revelation in 21, and I was reading about the jewels, and it goes on to say, and you know, there's rows of jewels and the colour. I was imagining the colour in my head, and I said to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, that must look beautiful." And I heard God's voice very clearly say, "That's you, silly. You're the jewel. That's you. You're the jewel." And sometimes we place value on things that are things. But actually, the jewel is you. You are the jewel. And you must, you know, if you take away something this morning, take this away. You are a precious jewel in his hand. Amen? Amen. So out of all the wonderful gifts that he gives us when we come to him, he gives us many gifts and he calls us many new names, doesn't he? We become heirs, sons, more than conquerors. We become children of the Most High. We become the fragrance and we become inheritors, princes, warriors, and jewel. So can you put that to your name today? Just take your name for a moment and put that name in your name. So Ellie would be Ellie Louise Jewel Horan. And Deb, what's your second name? Deborah Annette Jewel Cabray. It's nice, isn't it? So I honestly can say that after 30 years, I'm still changing. He's still working things within me. I still notice things within my life. I notice that sometimes that, you know, I can judge myself, but he sees me as jewel. So whatever it is in your life that you want to place the instead of, see, I'm going to take the instead word and say, instead of judgment, mercy. I'm going to show myself mercy. You know, when we've been through things, sometimes we get cross with ourselves and we can self-punish, and when things go wrong, a lot of people self-punish, don't they? But instead of that, no, mercy, grace, grace. He's lovely. He is very lovely. So we have to make the choice to sing the song of praise. Okay? Make the choice to sing the song of praise. Can I say it once more? Make the choice to sing the song of praise. Do you know why? There's just a couple of verses that I've got this morning that I want to bring, because I want to show you also how this affects the spiritual. When we sing out, when we actually don't just stand in a meeting where we're all going together, we sing out, we change the atmosphere. God inhabits the praises of his people and the enemy flees. The enemy flees. So good. Listen to this. Psalm 8:2, "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger." To silence the enemy. And our song brings deliverance and victory. And I know your pastor has many times probably preached this verse, but Chronicles 20, 21 to 22, it says, "After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever.' As they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So, do you think they might have been scared? They were facing a huge army, huge armies, huge enemy. They probably were a bit scared. But what they did was they sang the song, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and his love endures forever." If you don't have a song that is readily on your lips, sing this one. This is a powerful song. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love and mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord." They sang in unity. They sang together. They went out. And the incredible thing is, it says, the Bible says, and the Lord set ambushes. And the Lord set ambushes. And then they went into the city to take the plunder, as the Bible tells us, the riches, and it took 3 days. There was so much there. That was a big lot of people that the Lord defeated. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love and his mercy endures forever. Incredible. So back to this passage in Isaiah 54. I've loved this passage for many years. It's been one of those ones that has been part of my, I believe, my transformation. And I sang it. For many years. I was completely single, not even a date, not one date, for 10 years. 10 years, not one date. Not one person asked me out. I went, "Oh, Lord, what's wrong with me?" No, nothing. He was saving me for one man. But, you know, for 10 years. So I remember I used this passage. I went, "I'm going to sing over my singleness. I'm going to sing over my singleness." And for many years, all I did was I went to bed at night and I cried because I was lonely. Because I know that I have a lot of love inside of me. I have a need to love and be loved. We all have a need to love and be loved, don't we? And I sang at night. I would go to bed and I would allow the Lord to hold me. I'd imagine myself in his arms. And I'd just sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me." Come on, sing it. "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Such a simple song, but out of the mouth of children and infants. So I became a child in his arms. I just allowed myself to be in his arms, and I still do it from time to time, not all the time, because I now have a husband that gives me lots of cuddles, but I have to remind myself, go back to that place. Go back to the place. You know, sit at his feet. Put your head on his lap, you know, and allow out of the mouth. I am his child. I am his baby. But I'm also his grown-up adult. It's incredible, isn't it? We walk through and we gain maturity, but I'm still his child. And I love that. And I just allow myself to sing for 10 years. And for a major proportion of that time, that's what I did every night. And you know what that did? It gave me this incredible love relationship with him. Because out of my mouth was coming a song of love. Because as I knew he loved me, I loved him. And if I was to say anything that I believe is on my life, I would say I fully have learnt in the hard, in the barren, in the lonely, in the dry times to sing a song of love. And that gives us great revelation. Yeah. So, when I met Mark, I'd been single for 10 years. And God does this suddenly. One day I was praying and I said, "Lord," I hadn't even spoken to him. Not even, I think I'd said hello. He was in the church. We're in a big church that is now Hillsong Church. We were in there for 18 years together. But after 10 years, I'd never even said hello to him because there was a lot of people, and that happens, doesn't it? You just don't sometimes even know people. And I said, Lord, I'll have whoever you have for me. And the Lord said to me, even if it's Mark Horan. Well, you know why he said that? Because I actually didn't know him, but I sort of didn't. He wouldn't have been the person I would have picked for myself. You are now, honey. He's up there sitting with the girls. You are now, definitely. But at that time, I actually didn't know, because God knew best for me. And I'd been singing this song, and he knew best for me, and I allowed him to work for me. And when I said, okay, yes. Do you know, within 2 weeks, my heart totally turned around and I was looking for him. And within 2 weeks, he made a beeline for me. And we knew that first date that we were going to marry. 9 months later, we were married. Yeah. And we've been married 20 years. And I have to say, it's absolutely brilliant. He's just an incredible man. And God did that, but I had to go through the storm. I had to go through that storm where I sang the song where I was completely lonely. And there's been many, many storms. There have been many things that have come along our way. And, you know, the times when we had no finances, when it was really difficult. Mark was working on staff at the church, and financial hardship came. And his days were cut. So he had to go out and get a job, and as well as working on staff at the church. And it was difficult because sometimes we had no money. And I remember scratching around in my bag just to find milk. I had 2 small children. And, I can remember crying, sobbing, just going, God, this is difficult, this is hard. But my breakthrough was coming. I just chose to sing. Anyway, one day I was asked to sing Amazing Grace. How amazing your conference was. Oh, incredible. You know, incredible. I thought, out of all the conferences I've been to, and I said this to you, Deb, I came away feeling so loved, just so loved. It was such a revelation of the grace of God. But I was asked to sing Amazing Grace at, just a lady's, an old lady's funeral, and I sang, and her granddaughter gave me $20, and I thought, $20. Now, $20 in the, early 90s was quite a lot of money. It went a lot further than it does today. And again, I heard the Lord clear as anything say, I want you to give it. I want you to sow it. I want you to sow in the barren times. See, it's also about singing and sowing, like coming from a heart of generosity. Well, I just went, oh, and that was difficult. It was actually difficult because I had this, what could I do with $20? And so along came the offering, and I went, okay, Lord, I give it to you. I sewed it in. I was walking out. I walked out round the back of the auditorium, and a young man who was taking care of the care arm in our church said, Joy, Lord just told me to give you some groceries. And he filled out the back of our car with groceries. It was, yeah. So this morning, as we, we come to a close, we've got a couple of minutes left, and I just hope you leave here stronger than when you came. And understand that every time that there is a gathering, there is an opportunity to accept the invitation that is given by the Lord. He sent you an invitation this morning. Come, come, come away with me, my love. Come away. Come to the place of trust. Come away and let me love you. Let me speak over your life. Let me sing over your life. It says in Zephaniah that he sings over us with joy. Let me sing over you and let us give him a song back. And, my prayer is that you will leave here differently, with a stronger heart. with a heart that says, I'm going to sing when it's difficult. I choose to praise. When I'm going through the storms of life and the pastor says, lift your hands and praise, I'm going to make a choice to praise. I'm going to make a choice to worship in the wilderness. I'm going to choose to step over from how I feel, from the brokenness how I feel, and I'm going to honor you, for you are my God, and you gave me your Son so that I can know grace and that I can change day by day in this process. So I just want to tell you this morning, three things. Commit to his kingdom. Commit to his kingdom. The eyes of the Lord range across the whole earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. His eye is upon you. His eye, his gaze is upon you. And that verse, it says, the Lord is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking. He's actually looking for you. He's looking. So sing and commit to his kingdom. Sow in famine. Sow in the hard times, because God is faithful. God is faithful. And build the kingdom in uncertain times. Keep building the kingdom of God. Because as we join together, we will become jewels, gems, 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 color, color. And as he looks at you as you sing and you commit your way, you know what's going to radiate back to him? Color. Do you know what's going to radiate to this world? Color and life and joy and his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. As one who cries out in the wilderness, as one who cries out, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And as we cry out to him, we actually prepare the way of the Lord to do something in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful band of girlfriends, your daughters, Lord, your jewels. Lord, I pray that they would leave here today with hearts that are encouraged, hearts that have become strong. God, hearts that decide to stick their feet in and say, I'm going to keep going when it's tough. I'm going to walk through the storm and I'm going to hold my head up high. And I'm not going to be afraid, because you are my rock and my strength and my fortress. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.